Bristol, Vermont, and WNYV Whitehall, Glens Falls. It's 8 o'clock.
Good morning. This is Northern Light for Friday, March 8th. I'm Monica Sandresky.
And I'm Todd Moe.
Communities throughout the region are prepping for thousands of tourists to visit the North Country for the total solar eclipse in April.
We don't have, like, on-street parking in our town, so, you know, if people parked on both sides of the roads instead of two lanes coming and going, there's only going to be one lane being able to, you know, go down the main street.
People with disabilities are pushing back against Governor Hochul's plan to cut $1 billion from a program that allows them to direct their own care.
And it allows me to choose my home care workers and choose when they work and how they work. So it gives me that freedom to really dictate my care and what it looks like.
And John Warren checks the trail conditions for us this weekend.
Dan Berggren has sent us a song to welcome spring.
And all of that's coming up on Northern Light. Stick with us.
Broadcast of Northern Light here on North Country Public Radio is supported by Seacom Credit Union, serving the financial needs of people throughout northern New York and northwestern Vermont, in person, online at seacom.org, and on your smartphone. And by the Depot Theater in Westport, inviting all to take a journey without leaving the station. Learn more at depottheater.org.
This is Northern Light. I'm Monica Sandresky.
And I'm Todd Moe. The April 8th solar eclipse is a month away today, and that means that towns and villages across the North Country are revving up their preparations for the event. They're also trying to be proactive about safety, traffic, and other things that could go wrong. Amy Vireisel spoke with a woman on eclipse duty in the town of Indian Lake.
The day I spoke with Christine Pouch, she just received a delivery of trash cans and fielded a call from a potential eclipse visitor.
I had just probably an hour ago before you called a gentleman coming from Schenectady. His first question is, where's the best spot for me to watch the eclipse and be close to a restroom?
The trouble is, there are only four public restrooms in all of Indian Lake, but Pouch has it covered.
The very first thing I did was order 20 porta potties.
Pouch is Indian Lake's economic development, marketing, and events manager. Preparing for the April 8th solar eclipse has been her life as of late. She says it's all about the three T's: toilets, trash, and traffic. Traffic is a big one because there aren't that many roads in the Adirondacks. And from the south, there are limited ways of getting into the Tri-Lake area of Lake Placid, Saranac Lake, and Tupper Lake, where a lot of eclipse events are scheduled and hotels have been booked out for months.
There's either I-87 that goes right up the corridor and passes by all the little small communities, or take what we call the back roads, 28 and 30, from points south like Utica, Syracuse, Rochester, Albany.
The back roads route goes right through Indian Lake, and there are very few detours.
Once you get on that road, you're on that road until you get there.
So while Pouch has no idea how many people will be in Indian Lake for the eclipse itself, she's hoping no more than 5,000, she's pretty sure that plenty will be driving through. So she says the town is designating parking areas in local church parking lots, hoping to avoid people parking on the road and making things even more congested.
We don't have, like, on-street parking in our town. So, you know, if people parked on both sides of the roads instead of two lanes coming and going, there's only going to be one lane being able to, you know, go down the main street.
She's trying to be prepared for traffic jams, for bad weather, for anything that could lead to unexpected visitors on April 8th.
There could be people stuck in traffic and realize they're not going to make it to their destination, and they will turn around and come back and find that they'll have activities to accommodate them in Indian Lake.
Pouch says they've designated eclipse viewing areas around town and will be passing out maps of the town's layout at the Indian Lake Welcome Center. There's also an artisan fair planned for Saturday and Sunday, and a whole slate of events and public parties for locals and visitors to attend on Monday. And there are about 20 local volunteers set to act as eclipse ambassadors the day of.
Who will be on site at the viewing location wearing orange vests with our town logo on it. So when people have questions and need answers, you know, they know where to go and we can help them get to, you know, a food truck or a restaurant or get medical attention if they need it.
Safety is Pouch's top concern. There is a health clinic in Indian Lake, but it's an isolated community and about a 25-minute drive from the closest pharmacy and grocery store. She says they're advising local residents to not schedule critical travel, like doctor's appointments, in the days around the eclipse.
Make sure your car is filled with gas. Make sure you have ample groceries. You know, just make sure that in any case of any kind of emergency, you're good at home.
Of course, everything is still one big question mark. Pouch says local hotels and motels are fully booked, but everything could go smoothly. Indian Lake could also turn into one long, skinny parking lot.
Somebody gave me a plaque that said chaos coordinator. And honestly, right now, I feel like that's it. I got a lot of balls in the air.
Preparing for every scenario is difficult, but it's the task in front of pretty much every North Country community right now. Amy Feiereisel, North Country Public Radio.
Dennis Gallagher on guitar, Martha Gallagher on harp on a keen. You're listening to Northern Light here on North Country Public Radio. It's 7 minutes past eight. Good morning. I'm Todd Moe.
And I'm Monica Sandreski. Coming up, John Warren checks the trail conditions in the Adirondacks. We can expect a mix of precipitation this weekend with snow coming Sunday in higher elevations. More details just ahead here on Northern Light.
Broadcast of Northern Light is supported by Adirondack Foundation, making grants to nonprofits that address community issues of childcare, attainable housing, career pathways, basic needs, and more. Adirondackfoundation.org.
Governor Kathy Hochul is proposing budget cuts to a popular home health care program that allows people with disabilities and the elderly to live at home and have more say in who cares for them. People who depend on the program say it's vital that the legislature reverse those cuts. Karen DeWitt reports.
So if you can just tell me your name, where you live.
My name is Renee Christian, and I live in Buffalo, New York.
Renee Christian, who has cerebral palsy and gets around in a wheelchair, receives home health care through New York's Consumer-Directed Personal Assistance Program. It allows a person with a disability or an elderly person to self-direct their own care. They can hire and fire workers as long as they adhere to certain rules to keep everyone accountable. She says the program allows her to live her life. That includes running a business as a health and wellness life coach and raising her 11-year-old daughter.
I have consumer-directed home care, and it allows me to choose my home care workers and choose when they work and how they work. So it gives me that freedom to really dictate my care and what it looks like.
Christian is allowed 17 hours of care a day under the program.
It's a lot of care, and I need it because I need assistance to go to the bathroom, to shower, to eat, things like that.
Right.
Which is basic daily living.
Governor Hochul, in her budget, wants to cut $1.2 billion from the program. She would decrease wages for downstate workers by up to around $2.50 an hour. And she would exclude around 100,000 New Yorkers from using the program to manage care for a parent with dementia or a child with a disability. The governor is also proposing that the maximum number of daily hours of care be reduced by an unspecified amount. Brian O'Malley runs Consumer Directed Action of New York State. It advocates for the consumer directed programs. He, along with Christian, came to the Capitol to lobby lawmakers to restore the money. He says the cuts caught him by surprise.
Came as a shock. These are all new proposals for the most part, and there was no sign of anything new coming in this.
He says the program has been expanding in recent years as the population ages and the home care industry continues to face staffing shortages. But O'Malley says people like it, and more importantly, it works. Hochul's budget director, Blake Washington, says the consumer-directed program has grown by 1,200% over the past 8 years. He says it's becoming more difficult to afford.
The spending trends in managed long-term care are alarming. So for us, it was a hard call.
But he says the funds are needed for other health care needs, like shoring up financially struggling hospitals. And Washington says the program won't be reduced for severely disabled individuals. Assembly Health Committee Chair Amy Pollan says her House and the Senate will likely restore the cuts when they present their budget plans on March 11th.
I believe you're going to see some restoration, if not all, in the One House budgets.
Pollan says New York could save money by eliminating home care services managed by insurance companies. She's sponsoring a bill to do just that. Renee Christian is still worried. She grew up in a nursing home, and she does not want to go back to a facility or a group home where she might have to give up her daughter.
We have to come together as a society and decide that care matters and that it's important and that people deserve whatever level of support they need.
She says that's the larger issue that's at play. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt for the New York Public News Network.
Meanwhile, the North Country is set to get nearly $17 million in federal funding. That's according to New York Senators Kirsten Gillibrand and Chuck Schumer, who voted in favor of the bipartisan spending package. $4.5 million will fund a new building in Saranac Lake for police, fire, and emergency responders. More than $6 million will fund water projects around the region, including $2 million for a new water treatment plant in Rouse's Point along Lake Champlain. Hamilton County is set to receive $1.5 million to boost cell service in the remote region in the Adirondacks. In a press release, Senator Gillibrand described the funding as a critical investment to help revitalize the North Country. Congress is also giving more than $200,000 to organizations in the North Country to help provide food and housing to people in need. Lucy Grinden has more.
Each year, the Emergency Food and Shelter Program gives federal money to organizations that keep people housed and fed. The awards go county by county, and their amounts vary every year. This year, one of the largest allocations in the North Country is going to St. Lawrence County, set to receive $37,000 of EFSP funds. The county's EFSP board will review applications to decide where that money goes. The board's made up of local nonprofit representatives, like Don Cole.
I'm the director of United Way of Northern New York.
Cole says the board is looking to support things like school lunch or backpack programs and food pantries.
Right now, we're hearing from food pantries across the entire North Country region that they're seeing increased need. They're seeing more newer families visit pantries. They're seeing more working families, more families with children.
She says food insecurity and a lack of safe, affordable housing are two of the biggest problems facing low-income families in the North Country right now. Any organizations that address those needs may be able to get funding, as long as they're based in county, practice non-discrimination, and are eligible to receive federal funds. Local government agencies are also eligible to apply. The deadline is March 15th. Lucy Grinden, North Country Public Radio.
The warmer weather this winter is causing an early thaw up high in the Adirondack Mountains, state officials are advising hikers to avoid climbing above 2,500 feet due to unstable ice and snow conditions. The mud season advisory comes about a month earlier than normal. It also comes on the heels of two overnight rescues in the high peaks last weekend. More than 30 forest rangers helped rescue two injured hikers Saturday night. Rangers say conditions in the Adirondacks are difficult and dangerous right now. Hiking at lower elevations and avoiding muddy trails also helps prevent erosion and protects sensitive alpine plants.
And students from the Glens Falls region will travel to Puerto Rico next week to help install solar panels. The island territory has been hit hard by storms that have caused widespread power outages in recent years. According to the Post-Star, about 25 students are now part of the Adirondack Solar Alliance. They've traveled to Puerto Rico twice already, installing solar panels on a nursing home, which has helped cut electrical costs by about 85%. The Adirondack Solar Alliance has been funded by donations, and the upcoming trip is funded by a $20,000 donation from a New Jersey tech company.
You're listening to Northern Light right here on North Country Public Radio. I'm Todd Moe.
And I'm Monica Sandreski. In just a minute, outdoor conditions in the Adirondacks this weekend and a new seasonal tune from Dan Berggren that's coming up here on the show. Then stick around afterwards for Bird Note just ahead at 8:42. But first, Todd has a look at the weather.
Spring-like weather today, sunshine, 50s for highs, light winds out of the east. Get outside, take a walk. High lows tonight near 40 with clouds increasing. And then tomorrow, probably some scattered showers. About a 70% chance of rain for much of the region tomorrow. Highs, low 50s, and winds out of the south-southeast, 15 to 25 miles per hour. And then very likely a wintry mix on Sunday into Monday as well, especially in some of the higher elevations where temperatures are going to fall into the upper teens and 20s Sunday and Monday nights. Again, about a 90% chance of a wintry mix across the region on Sunday. Chance of snow showers Monday and then sunshine by next Tuesday. So again, today mostly sunny. 50s for highs, light winds out of the east. And here's John Warren with a check of outdoor conditions for the weekend.
On Saturday, sunrise in the high peaks will be at about 6:18 and sunset at about 5:55. It will be a nice day today and we're headed for spring, but winter conditions remain, especially at higher elevations. This weekend, we'll see a mix of precipitation around the region with higher elevations forecast for heavy snows at times. If you are headed in the woods or onto the waters this weekend, follow the weather closely and be prepared for winter conditions. Snow is expected to begin Saturday, and some summits could see as much as a foot or more of new snow by Sunday morning, with snow continuing above 2,000 feet through Sunday. Snowshoes will be needed, as well as traction devices for lower elevations, which remain icy in places. Expect to encounter blowdown, especially on Sunday. This morning, there remains almost no snow below about 2,000 feet around the Adirondacks. At the Lake Colden outpost at about 2,700 feet, there is about 18 inches of snow. Avalanche Pass is only skiable beyond avalanche camps now, but that will change with the new snow. There are several feet of snow at higher elevations. Warm temperatures and rain have increased snowmelt, affecting our water crossings. Use caution. Some may be impassable this weekend. Rivers and streams are well above normal for this time of year. The Hudson River is at almost 9 feet on the gauge at North Creek this morning. The Racket River will be at about 7.5 feet this weekend at Piercefield. And Lake Champlain is beginning to rise. It's at about 98 feet just above Whitehall. That's about 2 feet from the flood stage. The downhill ski areas will get some snow this weekend. Whiteface, Gore, Oak, and Macaulay will all be open. But cross-country is going to be limited this weekend to Mount Van Hovenberg and elevations above 2,500 feet. Those are the outdoor conditions in the Adirondacks this weekend. For North Country Public Radio, this is John Warren from the New York Almanac, online at newyorkalmanac.com.
Maple sap is flowing. Red-winged blackbirds are back. Pussy willows are blooming. It is early spring in the North Country, and you're listening to Northern Light right here on NCPR. Folk singer Dan Bergeron grew up in the Adirondacks and has written dozens of songs about the seasons, nature, and environmental issue. And we have a new tune released just this week, Ready for Spring. Dan says it's a variation of the well-known tune Sitting on Top of the World, and the new Springtime lyrics are his.
"'Twas in the spring, one sunny day, snowbank slowly melting away, almost gone. And I'm ready, ready for spring in my soul. In the month of March, winter's almost done. The sun is shining and the sap does run. Time to boil, boil, boil and make syrup. I'm ready for spring in my soul. Bluebirds and robins at my back door. Red-winged blackbirds, so many more. Sweetly singing songs of April. I'm ready for spring in my soul. Prettiest thing I've ever seen is when the hardwoods turn shades of green. Heading into May, daylight's longer. I'm ready for spring in my soul. In the spring, one sunny day, snowbanks melted and gone away. And if there's one more storm, I'll be ready, ready for spring in my soul. Ready for spring in my soul. Ready for spring in my soul."
Adirondack singer-songwriter Dan Bergeron's newest song, Ready for Spring. That song, along with other, as Dan says, newish ones, are on his Bandcamp page, and you'll also find more information on Dan Bergeron's website, bergeronfolk.com. And there's more great acoustic music tonight. Just want to remind you that Drank the Gold will be at Tawny Traditional Arts in upstate New York tonight at 7 o'clock as part of Tawny's Cabin Fever series. Una and James, great musicians from the Saratoga area. They'll be playing Irish and old-time music. Great way to prep for St. Patrick's Day. Again, that's coming up tonight. 7 o'clock, Tawny in downtown Canton. Drank the Gold live.
Yes, lots of good ways to prep for St. Patrick's Day coming up throughout the region, including in Hudson Falls at the Strand Theater there. Direct from Ireland, the group The Druids is performing this Sunday at 3 o'clock at the Strand Theater for an afternoon of acoustic originals and classic Irish covers. You can find out more from the Strand Theater in Hudson Falls.
There's also music on the air tonight. We're celebrating today, which is International Women's Day, with some special music this evening starting at 8 o'clock. Global Village host Chris Heim will share music from female artists from around the world. That's at 8 o'clock. And then at 10 o'clock tonight on the air, Afropop Worldwide highlights the Rebel Queen of Algerian Music, a tip of the hat to musical women who have something to say tonight right here on the air on NCPR starting at 8 o'clock.
And I want to give a special shout out to some of our high schools performing their musicals this weekend. Both the Fort Ann Central School and the Canton Central School are doing their performances of Beauty and the Beast this weekend. You can find out more about that from each of those schools and find out ticket costs too.
And we've talked about the Adirondack Center for Writing's poetry machine. It looks a bit like a bubble gum machine, but it dispenses poetry. And this month, you can stop by the Community Bank in Whitehall. Right in the lobby, you'll find the poetry machine, machine giving out 10 different types of poems with a definition, an example of each. You could get a haiku, a list poem, a prose poem, how-to, erasure, or cut-up. The best part is, unlike bubblegum machines, you don't need quarters. It's free. Just stop by the lobby at the Whitehall Community Bank this month. Of course, next month, April, is National Poetry Month, and you can get ready for it. Pick up a free poem from the Adirondack Center for Writing's poetry machine.
Don't forget to check out the Figure Skating Club Ice Show coming up next weekend in Ogdensburg. The performance is A Night at Times Square, which is the theme. That's next Saturday at 6:30, held at the Ogdensburg Free Academy Golden Dome. About 60 skaters and two synchronized skating teams will be performing. Four graduating senior soloists are Hannah Costello, Mia Downey, Madison Miller, and Marina Perry. Caden Skelly is the soloist. Congratulations to all of you. Tickets are $5 at the door. Children age 2 and under are free. Again, that is the Ogdensburg Figure Skating Club Ice Show coming up next Saturday.
And also, we heard earlier this week from artist Susan Riley. You can check out her weaving exhibit. It continues at the Lake St. Lawrence Arts Gallery in Waddington from 11 to 3 today. Check it out. Susan Riley will be showing that special exhibit of her work. It's different weavings and also some dyed silk scarves. That's at the Lake St. Lawrence Arts Gallery right on the Main Street in Waddington. It continues all this month.
And don't forget to head out this evening to the Downtown Artist Cellar in Malone. NCPR is the media sponsor for the opening reception of the Out of the Box exhibit. It features artwork from regional women whose work challenges conventional boundaries. The reception is open to all community members. You can find out more information at our website, ncpr.org/calendar. And again, that is this afternoon starting at 5 o'clock for the Out of the Box exhibit at the Downtown Artist Cellar in Malone. And one last event I want to make sure to mention: the Pink Floyd tribute band Us and Floyd is coming to Watertown in April. That is a special Eclipse Weekend concert featuring the Pink Floyd tribute band. It'll take place at the Dulles State Office Building in Watertown. Tickets and all general admission are about $25. Doors will open at 6. Show starts at 7. Make sure to get your Eclipse Weekend off on the right foot with the Pink Floyd tribute band coming to Watertown April 7th.
That's it for Northern Light for this Friday, March 8th.
Morning Edition continues in just a minute. Then join us later today for an important conversation on Science Friday. They've got the news roundup, an election science, antibiotic resistance, and math in drag. Math has a reputation maybe for being a little bit boring, but drag queen Kind is on a mission to dress it up and make it more exciting with her new book, Math in Drag. Anyone can be good at math with a little bit of practice. That's coming up on Science Friday this afternoon between 2 and 3 o'clock. Then join us after that for the Beat Authority with David Summerstein, a fresh, eclectic mix of dance music and great grooves from all over the world this afternoon from 3 until 5 o'clock. Get your weekend started off on the right foot.
I'm Todd Moe. Thanks so much for listening.
And I'm Monica Sandreski. Have a good weekend.